Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
And welcome to the show. Good to be with you. We're going to get right to Howard Owens from the Batavian.
I also want to remind you that tomorrow at the Erie County Fair, Tom Bowerly, myself, Bowerly and Bellavia, from 3 to 7, we'll be at the Erie County Fair. We'll be at the Bathfitter space inside the event center. It's right next to the casino, and we'll be broadcasting live.
We get to go to the poultry exhibit when we're on the air, or am I barred from doing that when we're on the air?
I don't know.
Because if we get to go to the poultry exhibit, look out, world.
Yeah, well, the event center is next to the casino. We'll be broadcasting live at the Bathfitter space. So thank you, Bathfitter, and we'll be there 3 to 7. You can stop over and say hello.
Say hello, flip us off. No, don't flip us off. Just don't bring us food because neither of us need it or want it. Joining us right now on News Radio 930 WBEN, we have from the Batavian, the guy who said, hey, I drove. Well, can we just hear the audio, Phil? This is the guy at the end of the Chris Collins. Well, there was something in the air last night. This is what happened last night at the end of Chris Collins' soliloquy about how great an investor he is and what a great public servant he is and how much he really cares about people with MS.
Thank you very much and have a great night.
When you call the press conference, I came here all the way from the JV. I expect to be able to ask at least three questions, Congressman. Congressman, I should be able to ask questions. Don't touch me.
I'm not touching
you. Okay. Congressman.
I'm not touching
you. Wow.
Wow. Joining us right now, and we're not touching him, is Howard Owens from the Batavia. Howard, from the Batavian. Thank you very much for joining us, Howard.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Always a pleasure.
How frustrating was it for you to sit there, to listen to that, and then to have him walk away from a so-called news conference without answering a single question?
Well, first of all, my definition of a news conference is you're coming to confer. This is supposed to be the chance where the press gets the chance to ask you questions. You're under no obligation to answer them. You're perfectly free to say, under advice of my attorney, I can't answer that question. But you stand there and take it like an elected official and stand up there and let the press answer the questions. And so that was frustrating. It's also kind of what I expected. I prepared in advance what I was going to say just to make the point. You know, you called us out here. You know, we came here with the expectation to ask questions. It's perfectly normal. I think it's really disrespectful and rude for him to gather us all over from all over the region to wait an hour and a half for him to finally show up and then not take any questions.
Howard Owens joins us from the Batavian.com. One of the reasons why newspapers are dying is because of journalists like Howard Owens, who saves a lot of money in ink and still provides 24/7 coverage of the region. And that's why the Batavian is one of the most popular websites in Western New York. And Howard Owens, let me ask you this question. What is the when you're waiting 90 minutes, what was the excuse of why you were waiting 90 minutes? You were told 6:30 is when the press conference would start, like we all were told.
Yeah. It's my understanding, you know, he's flying from New York City and he was late.
But I'm saying if we knew that we were flying in from New York City and we were going to be late, we would have known that at 5 o'clock when I assume we boarded a plane to arrive at 6:30. You know what I'm saying? What I'm getting at is that they kept moving it back by 20 minutes and that happened five times until we got to be 90 minutes into it. I just didn't understand what the excuse was.
Yeah, I you know, who knows what's going on there? We've all traveled. And I understand, you know, things can happen, and I'm not going to throw shade on him about that. But you know, I just think that regardless of whether he's there on time or whether we have to wait, but especially after we have to wait, he owes us the mutual respect of standing there and taking questions. He is, after all, an elected official.
Can you talk about what it was like sitting there? Because I know at home, I mean, I was in the comfort of home. I had my shorts on. I had my AC cranked up, my ceiling fan going. I'm getting things done around the house. But there you are in a room filled with, you know, all of these slovenly journalists with bad hygiene. You know, it's 6:30. It's 6:45. It's 7 o'clock. It's 7:15. Can you put us in the picture with what was being said and murmured in that room at that time?
I don't know. I think we're all pretty docile. In gatherings like that, there's somewhat of a fraternal organization. Some of us know each other. I met, you know, Bob McCarthy for the first time. That was kind of nice.
He's a good guy.
Yeah. And I'm there with, you know, a couple of colleagues from my competitor at the Daily Californian. We get along well. Some other Rochester TV people were there. A bunch of us, the photographers, because I also double as a photographer, went out and waited in the lobby for a long time, hoping he would come up the stairs. Then we learned he was going to come through a back entrance. That Chris Collins sneaking around, you know. So I mean, it was not I think one of the big things is some of us might have gotten into a little lull about what we were there for. You know, I got on Twitter after a while, and I'm scrolling through Twitter, not thinking about the press conference, and I realized, well, you know, I better get back in the game here, and I went and read some of my previous coverage just to remind myself, in case I got a chance to ask questions, you know, what the issues were.
Hey, can I just ask you, Howard Owens from the Batavia.com, what was it that you said? Because we could hear that you said, you know, I came all the way from Batavia. It's a little garbled in the middle there. What was it exactly that you said to the congressman?
I'm just saying, you know, Chris knows me, and I'm usually the first one he calls out for questions, and he knows I never leave the county. So I just wanted to make the point, hey, come on, Congressman, you called the press conference, it's your press conference, we expect to ask questions. I came here all the way from Batavia. We have a right to ask questions. I should get my three questions.
Howard Owens of the Batavian on WBEN. So what was that little exchange about with, don't touch me, I'm not touching you, don't touch me? Because for a moment there, I remember being a dad with my kids in the back seat. What happened?
Just there was a bodyguard there, and of course I continued to try to follow Chris. I don't know if he's Secret Service or a private bodyguard or who he was, but I'd say we mutually stepped in each other's space. I stepped forward, he stepped forward. I just wanted to make the point, you know, don't touch me. And what's interesting, listening back to that, is I didn't accuse him again of touching me, and he said, I didn't touch you, right after he bumped into me again.
There's a left out in the audio. Oops. Howard Owens from the Batavian. You know, when you if you would have gotten a crack at asking the questions, what line of questioning were you going towards?
Well, I think there was two things I wanted to bring up. One, I'm really upset with this whole fake news stuff going on and trying to delegitimize the media. And Collins has done that to the Buffalo News. He's put out fundraising letters calling the Buffalo News and their coverage over an eight fake news. So my first thing was, you called the Buffalo News coverage fake news. Now you have a U.S. District Attorney saying you engaged in insider trading. Do you still think legitimate journalism is fake news?
So fair question. Fair question.
I wanted to ask that. Number two is, if he's going to deny it, I would really like a chance. And one thing I want to put out, I want to put this out to you guys, your readers, anybody that supports Chris Collins, explain to me the fact pattern, how we can look at this fact pattern of the volume of trading, the timing of the trading, the timing of the calls that were made, and not say this was insider trading. I would like to understand, because I'm trying to figure out myself, how this doesn't add up to insider trading. Chris Collins wants to say he's, you know, completely innocent. Well, let's hear the explanation, and that's the question, what I want to hear from him or anybody that can defend him.
So the subtext of question number two is, give us another reason why you contacted your son so frantically just after getting the email, so frantically and so often after getting the email.
Howard Owens,
was he really excited to say, hey, I'm at Donald Trump's White House? maybe that's what the call was about.
You never know. And Howard Owens joins us from the Batavian. One of the things that Howard just brought up, though, is a tool that is used by prosecutors all the time in insider trading. And I'm learning about this, you know, because the story is blowing up. But it turns out that there are these trading patterns that they use. So if we're buying Apple stock and we usually buy it at 500 shares, you know, per bid, and then we sell them at 200, and all of a sudden you start selling 60,000, that's an abnormal pattern. That's something that you look at and you say, wait a minute, that's, you've never done this before, and it just happens to happen after frantic phone calls.
That's why you're going to get busted.
That's one of the things that Howard brings up. What was the third one, the third question?
I would say just more along those lines. What's the logic behind this? Did your son trade 5.1 million shares of N8 stock in a three-day period after you learned this bad news? Was that just coincidence? How do you explain him making that trade? Or did he, you know, are the prosecutors correct? Did he make those trades or didn't he make those trades? Because if he made those trades within that window for a company that you guys really believe in and are so passionate about, why did he make those trades if he didn't have inside information?
I don't know the answer to this, Howard, but one of my questions would have been, since you have such a passion for multiple sclerosis, how much money have you donated to various charities associated with multiple sclerosis? And I don't know the answer. He might donate millions. I don't know.
That's a great question. And one point I want to make, too, is I have no reason, really, though, to doubt his passion about this issue. And maybe this is the only thing he's done along those lines. I think... Let me interject one thing here. Is I've talked to people who want to say, see, all politicians are crooks. I'm not going to necessarily say Chris Collins is a crook. He's owned the stock for a long time. He can be very passionate about it. He can be really into it. And that passion may have misled him into getting people involved that he shouldn't get involved in. And then when he got the bad news that he totally didn't expect, for lack of a better term, he panicked.
Of course, the law is not going to view his passion as exculpatory.
Exactly. But I just don't want to, I just don't think that we have information here to say, see, all politicians are crooked. I think there are good, honest politicians out there, believe it or not.
You've covered these kinds of speeches before. Do you want to rate this one in terms of its effectiveness? And I will just tell you from where I'm coming, I don't know how familiar you are with The Sopranos, but I just remember, all I could think of was Chris Collins being Vito Spadafore Jr. in the shower at school, soiling the shower in front of his shocked classmates. That's exactly the feeling I got, how Chris Collins was treating me.
I don't know. I'm not picking up on that analogy. So I've seen
this. It is scatological.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that he's, I don't know. He's so arrogant. It's hard to read on what's really going through his mind. I give him a 50-50% chance of resigning in the next week to 10 days when this really sinks in.
Really? I'd like you to expand upon that, Howard Owens. I'd like to know the thought process that goes into that. Howard Owens is with us from the Batavian. He's the guy who shouted out, hey, Congressman, I drove all the way from Batavia. Can't you answer three questions? And right before we had to break for traffic, Howard, you said that you would give Chris Collins a 50-50 percent chance of resigning over the next week or so. What goes into that thought process? Give us the arguments for and the arguments against that coming to fruition.
Well, I think on the fore side is that if we're, what we've discussed earlier is correct, that the fact pattern is really solid, and that he's not going to be able to evade these charges, and he's really going to need to fight them, or he's going to have to admit them one way or the other, but particularly if he's just going to have to eventually admit them. I think he would come to that conclusion, especially if he's pressured by the GOP. Because I'm sure they don't want this hanging around, lingering around. They'd like to move on. They've got midterms coming up. I could see him potentially resigning. I don't think that's out of the question. On the other hand, if he really is so passionate in believing that he's innocent, and also I believe he's arrogant enough to stick by that, then he's not going to resign. That's why I'm saying it's kind of a toss-up as to whether he will.
You know, you've used this word to describe Chris Collins. Chris Collins. I've used the word. Others have described the word. When you say Chris Collins is arrogant, can you give us examples, or is it just a general demeanor?
I would say it's general demeanor. It's in talking to him, you know, he's very partisan. The other side is always wrong. He's always right. He never, and you know, we've had some, I've asked him a lot of tough questions over the years, which he'll admit. You know, he's always got the kind of self-referential answer, the answer that is going to come from uniquely from his perspective without ever necessarily considering the other side.
You know, Howard Owens from the Batavian. Real quick, I just wanted to ask you if, you know, the thing that baffles me about this whole thing is that this is an ongoing investigation by the Ethics Committee, and allegations were already made. You know, why? How could this happen 6 months after the Ethics Committee opens up an investigation into you for this company, insider trading, all this other stuff? It just really, to me, it just looks like you're begging for the answer to be there's a miscommunication. This is not what it appears to be. And I can explain all of it. I just can't do it right now. Would you have settled for that in the press conference?
I would have settled for anything that he wants to explain himself beyond a very general, I didn't do it. Any kind of explanation, as a journalist, we have to live with that, right? I can't read his mind as to whether he's lying or not. If he gave that explanation, that would have been probably the lead of my story. You know what I mean?
Well, Howard, thank you very much for joining us. Of course, we are talk show hosts. You are a journalist. You know, we get to interject our opinion and say all kinds of snarky stuff. And you, of course, are a journalist, and we're not. But we do want to thank you very much for joining us from the Batavian. And if you'd shoot me a text, that'd be great.
Okay, great. Thanks, Tom.
Thank you. Bowery Howard and Bellavia. That was Howard Owens from the Batavian. Donald Trump, by the way, has a halo. I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but we're watching Fox News.
He's hosting a roundtable on prison reform, and everyone is in horrible light. But right above Donald Trump's head is a parkhan that is putting light brilliantly on his face.
It's like the finger touching down from God, from Michelangelo.
Absolutely brilliant staging of that shot. Nobody else can be seen. They're all in the shadows. Governor Rick Perry's over there. Can't even tell if he's really there. But there is Donald Trump with a giant light on his head and looking like Donald Trump. You know, is that even Donald Trump? It could be a portrait for all we know. It's that perfectly lit.
It could be a wax dummy. You never know. So I think we should find out from our audience what you guys thought of Chris Collins's performance yesterday. I have made it very clear that I was very less than impressed. But at the same time, you know, as far as resignation is concerned, David, I'm going to be a hypocrite because here, let's just look at this pragmatically. And, you know, Henry Kissinger used to talk about real politics or realpolitik. And the reality of the situation is, people, if Chris Collins is your candidate in New York 27, and you believe, as we believe, on most issues, you need to vote for Chris Collins. You have to vote for Chris Collins because otherwise that seat is going to go Liberal Democrat, and it will be Liberal Democrat for probably as long as you and your children are alive. Once something goes Liberal Democrat, it never goes back to conservative.
Let's say that this midterm election goes the way the president's saying, and the Republicans keep the House of Representatives. You've got Speaker Ryan, whoever replaces Speaker Ryan. You've got a Speaker Republican Party controls. If Nate McMurray beats Chris Collins in this midterm election, Nate McMurray would be on more committees in the minority as a Democrat than Chris Collins would be in the majority. Think about that.
Until such time as his case is adjudicated, and he may be found not guilty.
He could be found not guilty, but honestly, I'm not... They're not waiting for that in the ethics committee. Paul Ryan took him from the committee without even giving him a day. The ethics committee hasn't even come back and said what their decision is. Paul Ryan said, you got arrested. You're losing your committees. If Nate McMurray goes to Washington and the Republicans are still running the House as a Democrat, he's actually going to have more political capital than Collins would have because of the situation that Collins finds himself in. And so what Republican committees have to do is essentially say, if you want to keep this out of the hands of the Democrats, you have to vote for someone who is 50-50 that they go to prison. Maybe 60-40.
And I'm sorry, those of you who live in NY 27, at least you have that choice. Now, this is not personal. I like Brian Higgins personally, but I don't really have a choice. I'm in Brian Higgins' district.
Well, I think,
and I'll always be in Brian Higgins' district.
But there's a Republican running in that.
There is a Republican running. I mean, I have a choice, but unfortunately, Higgins has kind of a lock on the district.
Well, listen, what we're finding out is...
Talking about our friend, right?
Right.
Renee is
running for that seat.
Yeah, Renee Zeno is a very dear friend of mine.
So what I'm saying is that if Renee is one scandal away from being a front runner, I mean, think about it.
I love it.
What was Nate McMurray on Tuesday? He had $80,000. Nobody was giving him any credibility. Now, all of a sudden, you've got all these different, you know, people that are pontificating what could possibly happen. You never know in today's world who can get themselves caught up. But again, you know, Collins getting off the ballot, resigning. He's not doing that. He's simply not wired like that. He's not going to do that. And it gives Republicans a choice. Do you hold your nose for the benefit of the party and for your ideology, or do you decide to make your own independent choice?
Well, let us take some telephone calls on News Radio 930 WBEN. Here's Dennis in East Aurora. And by the way, her name is Renee Zeno. That's who's running against Brian Higgins. Z-E-N-O. First name, Renee. Here is Dennis in East Aurora on WBEN. Dennis.
Afternoon, gentlemen. I think I can help your former guest there with his second question and present a plausible situation where Congressman Collins could have been justified in making that phone call. Like a lot of rich families, it's probably safe to assume, and I don't know this for a fact, but that the next generation is being groomed to take over the business, right? So Junior is being groomed, which means he's a business partner to Chris Collins. So if you look at it from a business standpoint, he has a vested interest in knowing this information because Collins Inc. just lost $5 million when their hopes and aspirations were dissolved.
Yeah.
Now, where things might have gone awry is when his son went and acted on that personally.
You know, that would all be well and good if... But hold on, though. The son is not a board member, okay? So as the board member who now has information, that any disclosure to your wife, to your son, to whomever that is not a board member, that is privileged information, and that alone is the commission of a crime.
Even if you are talking about it and somebody overhears you at a cocktail. In fact, Phil, we have an interview from Buffalo's Early News this morning with Jill on Money, Jill Schlesinger, and I think we should probably repeat that because she does go into some detail on the law regarding securities fraud and insider trading.
So that alone is right there. Now, here's what I'm saying, Dennis. I would, but see, Dennis, here's what I'm coming at. I would even settle for an explanation that was, you know what, this young kid made a really, you know, he's getting married. He, you know, whatever the case may be, he rushed to judgment and he made a horrible mistake. I'm trying to protect my son from going to prison. So you know what, as any father, I'm going to stand up here and I'm going to defend my boy. This has nothing to do with me. This is the kid, and I love this kid, and I'm going to defend. That is a better argument than what you saw in that press conference. Would you agree?
I don't disagree with that, and any father's going to want to protect their son, but I think the facts of the case are so laid out that his son, there is no wiggle room for his son. They've got it, you know, they might as well have his GPS tracked that he went to his in-law's house and this, that, and the other thing, but you're looking at it personally. You got to look at it from a business standpoint. Business.
Well, we're looking at it from a legal standpoint.
Yeah, but you, as a business, if you're not on the board, Dennis, and I tell you what's going on in the board, it doesn't matter if you act on it or not. You have information that's privileged. That is actually the conspiracy.
But, you know, Dennis, with all due respect, this is not a business situation. This is not a family situation. This is not any situation but a legal situation at this point. It is a criminal legal situation. It is a felony criminal legal situation. This is pretty serious stuff.
So you're telling me if you're on the board of directors, you can't talk to your attorney about something that's going on?
That's attorney-client privilege. If your attorney then turns around to take that information and sells a stock, yeah, you're both screwed.
It's the same thing.
No, but it isn't, though, because if you're – listen.
This is in Collins, Inc.
If you go – but understand something. They're not talking about Collins, Inc. Yeah. They're talking about this innate – pharmacological Australian, used to be New Zealand company, now Australian company. If you are to make a comment about privileged information on a board, it doesn't even have to be acted on. That information that got out there, that is a conspiracy. If you're saying, look, we're going to lose a ton of money on this on Monday, that right there is what the conspiracy charge is. You called someone and told them you're about to lose a bunch of money. He then came up with his own plan. It might have been, you know, a poor plan. It might have been clumsy. It might have been foolish. But the kid acted on information he never would have had unless his father told him. And that information, any board member that would have sold stocks, they would also be in the next prison cell next
time. Dennis, I just have one quick question. Have you actually read the indictment? And
so I read the pertinent, the bits and pieces.
So you haven't read it all the way through?
No.
But okay, but and that's fine. I'm not. Hey, look, we all have busy lives, and I'm not going to criticize you for not taking time to read a 30-page legal document. But when you look at items 21 and 22 and 23, you'll see what appears to be, again, at first glimpse, prima facie, it seems to be a very compelling argument that information was shared with Cameron Collins that should not have been shared with Cameron Collins. Now, there may be a valid legal defense for why Chris Collins tried to call his son seven times within the span of 7:11 to 7:16 p.m.
Yeah, because Collins Inc. just took a $5 million hit.
But it's not Collins Inc. I think that's where you're kind of getting tripped up. This has nothing to do with Collins Inc.
No, that.
No, because what do you mean? How do we know that? We have 31 pages. That what we're talking about here is that.
How do you know his actual investment?
If you have a pattern of buying stock, you buy and trade stock every day, and you are buying 1,200 shares every 2 weeks when you get paid, and you also, when the stock goes below a certain stop, you can prove that with your broker, you sell, you know, 200 shares every time it dips below 2 points. And you've done that consistently. And these guys have over 1 million shares of a stock. There's a pretty good track record of how these guys buy and how they sell. When have they ever dumped the amount of stock that they dumped? And now you want me to believe that you dumped that stock after 7 phone calls, after you received a minute before an email that you responded to, that this result came back negatively. That is what the U.S. attorney is making the case
against. It gets down, Dennis and David, it gets down to, can the government prove beyond a reasonable doubt that this pattern of behavior and communication, beyond any reasonable doubt, demonstrates security fraud?
Yeah, I mean, I don't, his connection's bad too, but I think there's a disconnect here. There's a pattern of how you buy and how you trade. But let's play an expert here.
Well, we're not going to have time to give her full justice. You want to take the call, then play, Jill?
How long is it?
She goes for about four minutes, I think.
All right,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Let's go to Carm on a cell phone. Then again, I've been up since 8 o'clock this morning, too. I'm starting to live your schedule now. Thanks a lot, Mr. 7 hours on the air yesterday. Here's Carm on a cell phone and WBEN. Welcome, Carm.
Hi, gentlemen. This was a punch to the gut yesterday, I got to tell you. I believe, I don't know if he's going to survive the charges, but his seat will not survive. Those people, if he stays on the ballot, those people will stay home. This is not some backwoods Democratic in Detroit congressional district where he could be the worst criminal in the world and they're going to vote for him anyway. These people in his district, they will stay home.
But you know what, though? That's why we're going to have to be at the top of our game, because as distasteful as it might be, if you think Chris Collins is guilty as sin, if you want the possibility of that seat staying in Republican hands, your only choice is going to be a massive get out the vote. He might be a crook, but let's keep the seat Republican campaign.
I assure you right now that sound that you're hearing outside of Clarence, New York, is the sound of polling going on. They are polling left and right and center. They're nationally polling. They're going to poll internally, and they're going to know exactly what Carm's talking about here. They're going to lay out a plan of, can we win this? What are the possibilities? But Collins has a ton of money. He's going to pull the hell out of this district, and he will make a decision only because the polling numbers show him that he's still viable. Unless he's in handcuffs and unless he's in a prison cell, he is viable to win in this seat just because of the way it's redistricted.
Carm, we'd love to talk to you further, and we'll do that after the break. You certainly held on long enough. We're not trying to short shrift you, but as you know, we got breaks on the program. It is. We should have scripted that out better. You do the phone number this time.
803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. You can text us at 30930.
I mean, it's funny because usually we're like, we got the telepathy thing going.
803.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew it. Back to Carm on a cell phone. Carm, continue, please, sir.
Thank you, Tom. You know, the Collins we saw yesterday was not Collins, our congressman. It was an arrogant Collins, our county executive. He had changed when he went to Washington, and I liked what I saw. And I liked that he came out early for candidate Trump at the time, and I liked what he was doing. But I was very disappointed yesterday. And the people are going to this indictment is ugly. And I think his people are going to – the Republicans and the Democrats that did support him, there's some there. They're going to stay home. They're not going to – they don't like this. This isn't someone that
– You know, they're going to like having another liberal in Congress a lot worse than they're going to like having Chris Collins maybe going to prison. Do you agree, disagree?
Repeat that one more time.
But as much as they might not like voting for Chris Collins at this point, I think the alternative in the long run is going to be deleterious to the district. Because once these things go Democrat, it's like they always stay Democrat.
Well, I disagree because there is a tipping point. Yeah, you have one, Dave has one, and this is Trump, a lot of people were crazy about it, but they voted for him. They looked at both candidates, and they realized what they needed to do. But this is different. This is a congressional district. I don't think, first of all, he's going to be fighting for his life. How the heck is he going to do both?
You know, that's an excellent point. I think that's one of the most...
You can't.
Yeah, that's one of the most damning charges is that you've got to focus on doing your job. I mean, the first time you don't fill a West Point seat because you weren't there to approve it or something didn't get done, and it turns out you were at a court, now you're not doing the job. So it's not about the constituents. It's not about the people. So that, Carm, that is a huge problem. But think about this. If we get all the way down to the end here, and we're saying, okay, well, you know, it turns out that this is a locked, airtight case. A special election could theoretically be in February. And
it could feature David Bellavia.
No, but not even, we're not even talking about that. And that's another thing that's kind of annoying is that, you know, well, or Tom, who knows? But my point is that, you know, we can be critical of something that we're seeing critical and not have to put ourselves in. If there's anything to take away from this Chris Collins saga, is that life is not about you. Life is about other people. Service to your country certainly shouldn't be about you. And if you're throwing, you know, if you're making analysis or commentary based on your own political aspirations, then you're no good. You're as good as the person that you're criticizing. I don't like that.
I'm the
idea
one,
that it's coming.
And for the record, I'm the one who keeps touting you for Congress, not you.
And honestly, the truth is that is not going to happen if Chris Collins stays. He cannot vacate the seat. If he doesn't resign, he's not vacating the seat. He is on the ballot. That is the reality. And it's like this. If he goes to jail, there's a special election in 5 months. The people can select their candidate.
All right, Carm, thank you for the call. We're going to take more calls coming up after the news at 5 on WBEN.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.